live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Bear with me, because we're going to be reading some scriptures and I'm going to be traveling through kind of quickly. But the message I want to speak about this morning is wise men still seek him. My wise women, children, everybody, wise people still seek him. Once you've heard the greatest story ever told, you can never unhear it. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. The Hunger Games, Lord of the Rings, The Matrix. These are all movies that had trilogies that did really well in the box office. You wonder why. Why do these things do so well? Why do these movies seem to capture people's imagination and draw people from all walks of life to them? Because it is a classic story of good versus evil. It draws people in. In The Matrix, there was a man by the name of Morpheus. And one of the main characters' name was Neo. And there was a question that was bothering him. And all through this story, it's the answering of that question, what is the Matrix? In our lives, and even in the world, without them even knowing it, they're trying to answer a question. What's missing? What's missing in my life? What is it that I have not yet found? I have all these possessions. I have all these things, but I don't have peace. Why is that? Well, when Morpheus came to Neo, he offered him a red pill and a blue pill. He says, now, if you want to go back in and pretend that none of this ever happened and go back to the made-up life, the false life that you're living, take the blue pill. But if you want to know the truth, take the red pill. But understand that once you take that red pill, you can't turn back. Once you know about the blood of Jesus and the power that it has and what it will do, you can't turn back. The most miserable people on this planet are the people who've accepted Jesus and backslid. They can never find peace because they have turned from their first love, the love of the Lord. Now you think about that. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Now these are some of the scriptures, and I'm going to read through these quickly. These are some of the scriptures that the wise man may have read and known about. It says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now when you read that verse, it says all the families of the earth, not just the Israelites. God's intention was that all men everywhere would come to be saved and follow him. He's not just the God of the Jew. He's the God of the entire world and made a provision from that, even from Genesis. You think about that. Even from Genesis, he was bringing salvation to the whole world. Now, Abraham was chosen to be the man who the nation came through to bring Christ into the world. The one, as in the Matrix, they were looking for the one that would change everything, that would oppose the evil and bring in everlasting good. They were looking for the one. The Jews are still looking for the one, but we've found him. and all the families of the earth will be blessed. When he took Abraham and made a nation of him, it was not because that nation would be the only ones to know God. It was so that that nation would put God out for all the world to see and accept. And turn with me to Numbers chapter 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. The scepter means ruling. The one who will rule, the star, a star would come. Now and I'll get to this in a little bit, the wise man followed a star. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. I know this is hard to follow. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, he's talking to King David here. He's talking to David. And he's telling David what would happen to his family and his line afterward. I will set up your seed after you, and you will come, that will come from your body, and I will establish your kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne, the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. These are the things that these wise men could have been looking at that led them to Jesus. These verses, these very verses, and there are many, many others in here. I'm just picking a few. God had told David that David's family would be the family the one came through, the one who'd bring in everlasting righteousness, the one who would seal up the vision, the one who'd cause all the prophecies to be fulfilled, the one through who the whole world would then be ruled. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Next one, Michaela. Isaiah chapter 9. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. This is another verse speaking of where Christ would be raised up. 7:13. Then he said, "Hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary me, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." The word Emmanuel means God with us. God would not be a figure off in the holiest of holies that was unapproachable only by the high priest once a year, but he would be someone who was with them in their daily life and in their daily walk. This is the one that was to come, to bring Christ down to earth, down to you as an individual, so that you could worship and know him as an individual, that he would be your personal Savior. In Micah chapter 5, turn with me there. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting, You think about that. All through the Old Testament, it was pointing to one specific person that would stand up and be the ruler of all mankind and be the savior of the entire world, not just of the Israelites. Think about that. Not just of the Israelites, but the entire world. One man would stand up and fulfill that. It's been prophesied all through this book. You can literally go to every single book in the Bible and find probably something about Christ. This was not done, not hid in a corner. God did it for everyone to see and know. And then, and I want you to notice this verse here particularly in Micah 4:8. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you it shall come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Now, I know this is a lot of reading, but this is the greatest story ever told. All kinds of people have tried to tell this story. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Jesus was born in Bethlehem because that's what the scripture prophesied. That's the place it was going to happen. In Bethlehem is where they raised the sacrificial lambs for the temple. Every day the temple sacrifice was opened up with the sacrifice of a lamb, and every day it was ended with the sacrifice of a lamb. So that's over 700 lambs a year that had to be offered just to start offering sacrifice and to end that day, not counting all the sacrifices that took place. So you could see by just the simple reasoning of that, there would need to be thousands and thousands of lambs without spot and without blemish. And you think about, why is that significant? Because when I read to you in Micah, Tower of the Flock, that's talking about all these sheep that were out there. When God revealed himself to the shepherds and said, go to Bethlehem and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, that's very little information. If Pastor Rob and Tammy was to call you and tell you to pick them up in Cleveland, would you know immediately where to go without ever looking at Google Maps or whatever that was? Would you know immediately where that's at? No, because it wouldn't be enough information to get you to the right spot. But these people did not need any more information. Why is that? Because they already knew where it was. This is where the sacrificial lambs were born. A sacrificed lamb that had to be without spot and without blemish, when it would be born, would be brought into this temple where they would where the ewes would lamb their baby lambs. They would wrap them in cloths and lay these lambs in a manger till they quit kicking and would calm down, because it was traumatic for them being born and they wanted to kick, and if they broke their leg, they could not be used for a sacrifice. If they scarred themselves, they could not be used for the sacrifice. So it was a very difficult job to be a shepherd and provide these lambs. This is the very place I believe that Jesus was laid, where the sacrificial lambs were brought into the world. Think about that. Why is it in here? Why is there no more information? Because these men knew where to go. If we said, everybody in here, go over to the red building, even though it's gray now, you'd know where the red building is, wouldn't you? Because you lived here. Because you've attended here. You would know where it is. They knew where to go. Let me move on. The wise man knew where to go. They followed the star. You have to realize how many different scriptures and how many things that they would have to know to be there at the right time. They would have had to know Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks and know that 483 years had expired from the commandment to go forth to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince. They would know that. They would know that he was coming out of Bethlehem. They would know that he was going to be born. But the people to whom God was bringing the Christ child into their family, into their world, did not know. You think about that. How many people does the Bible record knew Jesus or knew he was coming? Simeon and Anna, who served in the temple, came in by the Holy Spirit and saw the Christ child. The shepherds, who the angels revealed it to, other than that, there was very few people who knew that Christ was coming. And this was the nation to whom the scriptures was given to. Now, let me read this again. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Why were they not looking? Why were they not expecting Christ to come? Why were they shocked when outsiders from completely outside their country came and said, "Where is he, born king of the Jews?" Now, Herod immediately rose up in fear because he thought this was a threat to his authority and his power and his throne. And let me tell you, this man was a gruesome, hideous man. He was a ruler who got his rule by killing people. And I'm not going to read what he did later on. It is pretty gruesome what he did. But even that was prophesied. And Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them the time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I might come and worship him." These men followed a star. How is that possible? We look with telescopes into our night sky and see the stars, and they twinkle and they're far away. And with magnification, we can bring them close. But this was a supernatural thing of God to show the sign that his son was born. These men had to travel a long distance away, even by our standards today, to get to this area. Jesus was already born. He was not in the manger. He was living in a house when these men came. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshiped him. These people worshiped the Son of God. They were believers in the God of the Israelites. They were in tune with the Spirit so much so that they followed a star to where he was. Think about that. They followed a physical star till it came and rose above Jesus in the house where he was living. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, one of the myths and the common misconceptions here is that there were three wise men. That's what you see in most of the plays, right? Three wise men. In actual fact, there was probably many more than that. And they traveled in such a large company that they had an army with them to protect them because they were bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which was very valuable, which Joseph would have to use to take care of them when they had to flee into Egypt because Herod wanted to kill the child. And later he killed all the children, male children in this area from 2 years old and under, trying to get the Christ child. Satan was trying to snuff him out before he ever got to give his life for us. But God protected him and took care of him, had it already took care of. These were outsiders that came and protected him. Why is that significant to us? Why is that even important to us? Because we are not Israelites. He already had the plan for all people everywhere to be saved, to come to that knowledge and be saved and follow him. We were already figured into the plan of salvation before this world ever even started. God already knew. Now, let's read on. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed from Egypt, and there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now, I have read some of the scriptures that pertain to the birth of Christ and to his reign and his kingdom. But this Bible is filled with scriptures and prophecies of Christ. If you would do a search for all the prophecies in the Old Testament that pertain to Jesus, you would realize that there is not one person in this universe that could fulfill that except him. There was no one who could do what he did. Everything that was prophesied about him came to pass. What he came to do. You remember John the Baptist said he was in prison. He sent to Jesus' disciples and told him to ask him if he was the one or do we look for another. And Jesus said what? He said, "The dead are raised, the blind see, the lame walk, the gospel is preached." Why did they not understand? Because they were looking for a government deliverance. Just like a lot of people in America today are looking for the government to deliver them. There is no deliverance in this world except for Jesus Christ. There is no power on earth that can heal, that can touch, that can bring forgiveness, that can change your life. There is no man on this earth that has ever been born or will ever be born that can change the world so much as Jesus did. No one can do that. No one on this, there's no name given among men whereby we must be saved but Jesus, the Son of God. The Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Not outside of you, but in you. Excuse me. Now, these wise men sought Jesus out because what the word told them. You have heard the message of the gospel. You've heard the witness and the testimony of people whose lives have been changed. Are you going to be a wise man or a wise woman? Are you going to take that knowledge and use that in your life and follow him? Every one of us needs to be like these wise men and worship him. What will you do with Jesus Christ? The greatest story ever told, the greatest gift ever given, was that through Jesus Christ, the whole world, past, present, and future, can be saved. Every person's life can be changed by this one individual. You think about how powerful that is, as what Joanne was trying to explain to us, the power of that gift, the power of that knowledge, the power of that realization that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came to save that which was lost, which is man. He came to redeem the loss that started in the Garden of Eden before ever was an Israelite nation, before there ever was an Abraham, before there ever was a David, before there ever was an Elijah. God set the plan in motion. Are you a wise man? Are you a wise woman? And are you seeking to worship him? Are you seeking to worship the King? As I said this morning, he's not a baby anymore. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. When we celebrate this time of year, we're celebrating the fact that Jesus came into this world, because what he ultimately was going to do on the cross is buy our salvation. That he would give his life in your stead. That he would suffer the penalty of your sin. David in the Psalms wrote, "Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, neither will thou leave his soul in hell." He experienced that for each one of us. That was your penalty. Everlasting darkness, everlasting separation from God. Now you see why this time of year is so important to us. And as the sign says out there, live every day as Christmas. Every day is Christmas for the believer. Every day is Christmas for us. Christ came into this world for each one of us. He came for you. What are you going to do with that knowledge? What are you going to do with that revelation? He died for you. He died for me. If I serve him all my days, it will never repay him for what he's done for me. There is no gift I can give him. There's no money I can give him for the forgiveness that he gave me, for the change he made in my life, and for the eternal home that now I get to go to. When we travel in a car or by any route that you travel, you only see the part of the path that you're on. You only see the highway that's directly around you, in front of you. God saw all the way to the end, our eternal destination, and provided a way that you can go there. Are you willing to seek him to do so? As we stand and we get a verse of song, Linda, will you come and play? I want to give you time that if you don't know Jesus, that you can come up here and seek him. He is not far from any of us. He is right near us. He's only a prayer away. Wise men still seek him. As Brenda was giving her testimony this morning, she was sharing Christ with other people. This is what we as a believer must do. We don't have to preach at them. We don't have to make them feel like that they are sinners and they're bad and they're wicked. The Holy Spirit will do that. We have to love them as Jesus loved them. We can tell the gospel in such a way that we make people feel like we want them to go to hell. Or we can do it like Jesus did and love them in. Make them feel like we want them to be a part of this family, of God's family. To know him. To know him is to love him. How can you not love that greatest gift that was given to us? Now, I'm not going to linger long. But we as believers ought not be afraid of this altar. This is where we as believers come to seek Him. This is where we lay our burdens down. This is where we lay our families on the altar and ask God to save them. This is where we meet heaven and earth right here. That's what this stone is about. It's about coming here and touching God. It's about knowing that He is here wanting to touch you. We are not an interruption of the service. We are why He's here, to minister to us and to touch our lives. I'm going to give you just another minute. Let's all bow our heads just for a moment. Maybe you don't want to come forward. Maybe you don't want to do it here. Maybe you would rather do something personally at home. God will meet you anywhere. When you seek Him with all your heart, He will find you. There is no place on this planet that you can hide from the face of God. His Spirit covers this whole entire world. His presence is everywhere. David said, if I descend into hell, Thou art there. If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. Where can I go from before the face of the Lord? There is no place, there is no refuge from Almighty God. You either meet Him before you die and you get your sins under His blood, or you meet Him after you die. I want my sin to go before me. I want the Lord to know all about me. And I want all my sin to be covered by the blood of Jesus. All right, I'm not going to linger long. I'm not going to beg you to get the greatest gift ever was. I'm just going to give you an opportunity. And that's it. You must take a hold of that. No one can do that but you. No one can make you come to the altar. If I can make you come to the altar, then someone else will make you leave. You have to do it because you choose to. It's your choice. Are you going to let His blood cover your sin? All right, I feel like all of our hearts and minds are clear. Let's all raise our eyes up. Before we close, I'd like to have Linda come forward. If there's anyone that would like prayer, have the prophetic team come forward. And as your music plays, if you have no further need, you can be dismissed and have a Merry Christmas.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.